We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Oh, nope, the chat's up. Okay, we're good. Let's start the intro.
All right, let's start the intro. Now it's just setting up. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Oh, there we go. We're demonetized. Can't curse in the first 5 minutes.
What? Really? Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Damn. Oh, well.
With your hosts, Wayne New, Greg Donald,
and Lou Max. The hell's the matter with you?
This past Saturday. You know what happened Saturday?
You got your period?
No, no, no. You didn't hear?
Hear what?
It was the last Kiss show ever.
Oh, yeah, but they're ABBA now, so it's time to celebrate.
What? They're ABBA? That's even worse.
What do you got against Swedish pop?
I'm not going to get to see Paul Stanley anymore. Or Gene Simmons. Or what's that guy's name that looks like Ace Frehley?
No one knows their name.
What's his name?
Well, Ralph Vieira calls him Fake Frehley.
Yeah, that guy.
Tommy Thayer.
Thank you. And Eric Singer. I'll say his name because I actually like Eric Singer.
I do, too. I've been a fan of his ever since I heard him play with Black Sabbath. And his stuff with Badlands was great, too.
Oh, God. And he's done stuff with Alice Cooper. And he was yes. in Avantasia.
And he what? He was with that Avantasia. I did not know.
Yeah, yeah. And he actually sang a song with them too.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, welcome to Rad Style Review, everybody. We're taking a break from the Ozzy discography because, well, we're gonna wait for Greg to come back next week. Greg, wherever you are, we wish you well. And we also miss you, Manny and James. Manny's just been what?
Speak for yourself.
Not to give up too much about their personal lives, but Manny's been very busy with work, and James and his lovely wife just closed on a house recently, so they've been moving in. So, you know, we've been holding down the fort until Manny and James return, and we can't wait for that to happen, but I guess realistically, that won't be until 2024, but all good. We miss you guys. Again, I was speaking for myself, not for Wayne.
Speak for yourself. I don't miss them at all. They've made my life a miserable hell, especially with this show.
Your life was a miserable hell before they joined the show, so give me a break.
It really was. This thing is on YouTube, right? Because everything's working.
I don't know. It's frozen.
It's frozen. Why would it be frozen? See, it's on my thing. I don't know what's going on tonight, people. Bear with me. No, it's
Mercury in retrograde.
It's working. It's working. All right. Anyway, so yeah, this past Saturday was Kiss's final show. And did you watch it?
I watched an upload that somebody put on YouTube.
Oh, okay. There were somebody had it on Facebook too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, some friends of ours had it on Facebook on their group.
Some friends of ours. Okay, I'm not gonna dox who it was because. No.
They have a rock and metal podcast. I don't want to say the name.
Oh, they have a rock and metal podcast, so we don't want to have any combat with them. I got it.
No, but it was on one of those groups. I didn't watch it on there. Actually, I went to my friend's house. Two of the guys from my job, they wanted to watch it too. And we went to one of the guy's houses, and he paid for the pay-per-view, and we just watched it at his house. It was cool. What did you think?
So I thought it was a great spectacle. I mean, definitely the pyro and lighting for 2023 is far advanced than what it was in 1978 when Kiss was at their peak. So good for them for giving the fans, you know, bang for their buck when it comes to the live show. I still can't stand Paul Stanley's voice. I'm sorry, I can't.
What's the matter with his voice? I don't know what people say. His voice is shot. Yes, the first song that they played, he couldn't even sing it. I was like, oh man, this might not be good. But then it got better as the show went on. But what do you hear that's so bad about his voice?
So look, I mean, I don't think it's any secret that Paul Stanley is wearing veneers in his right. teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, if anybody recalls, he did have I'm not shaming the guy, but I remember what he looked like during Kiss's heyday compared to the way he looks now, and you can tell he definitely had some work done. Good for him. If it, you know, makes him feel less self-conscious, good for him. I'm not going to shame him for that. But as everyone knows, when you do go through that process, it changes, you know, your diction. You know, I mean, there's a reason why Freddie Mercury never got his teeth fixed.
Right.
Because he was afraid that it would have affected how he sang.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, like.
I don't get mine fixed either because it'll affect how I do my podcast.
I don't look at your mouth, Wayne. Don't worry.
Don't.
But, I mean, look, it's just, you know, after the Live to Win tour, like I heard that live album. And I thought he sounded great, but you know, it's like Ian Gillan after the Born Again tour, you know, he blew his voice. So, you know, he couldn't reach, you know, certain, not decibels, but you know, he couldn't reach like
he couldn't hit the high notes.
Right. So, you know, there was more strain on the voice. You know, it was good for them that they detuned from a half step down to a whole step, but still, I mean, I listen to death metal, you know, so like, you know, if people say, oh, he has no say, he listens to death metal. Well, that's the thing. When a death metal singer's doing it right, I can listen to it. Mm. When a singer's doing it right, I can listen to it. I'm just not a fan of how he's been singing the past 13 years. And I'm not shaming him for his age. I'm not shaming him for any changes that he did physically. It's just a matter of preference, you know. I'd rather listen to Alive 3 when he was, you know, on top of his game.
Yeah.
But so
I get it. Because there was parts and he should because he was trying to hit those high notes and you just can't do it no more.
No. But
when he went down lower to sing in those lower registers, he was like, fine. I'm like, just sing it low. Don't go up to high. We don't need that. We don't need it. Just keep it at a level where you can perform it without making yourself look stupid or just, you know, just making it sound bad. And he did do that in some of Detroit Rock City and it was fine. So I don't know why he just didn't continue to do that, but it is what it is. It's over now anyway. So it doesn't
get caught up in the moment. You know, you can't help it. You know, your adrenaline is.
And he's probably used to singing it that way too. So it's kind of hard for him to not do that.
Right. And I guess the problem that I have is that, you know, he claims that Peter and Ace are not up to par performance wise and can't hang with him and Gene on stage.
I could see that with Peter. I can't see that with Ace because he's still touring.
Yeah. And, you know, even it was admitted that during the reunion tour, they were using triggers for Peter.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could even see the way he was hitting the drums.
Right.
I'm like, is he tapping it? Why does it sound booming?
Yeah. Yeah, he was completely either not playing or they had something going on.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I don't know if he froze or my connection froze every time we start this show. Every time. Oh, now you have no sound.
What's that?
No, I didn't hear you.
I just said if you can't dish it, if you can't take it, don't dish it.
Right.
You know, like if you know, you're going to insult Peter, but you know, check yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't matter right now because Kiss is officially retired from the road. Thank you, Kiss, for 50 years of great music. And now they live on as digital avatars. Artificial intelligence has officially taken over rock and roll.
Did you see the pre-show?
I did not. Was that the one where like Desmond Child came out and did a Q&A and all that stuff?
Yeah. And that girl, she did a terrible interview with everybody, by the way.
Who was it?
I don't know who that woman was, but she needs to just not be on anything ever again.
Was it Carrie Keegan?
I don't know what her name was. I have no idea. Never saw this woman in my life. But she was terrible.
They should have gotten Lisa Martini from Three Sides of the Coin. She rocks.
I have no idea who that is.
I do.
Well, good. But at one point they had Gene Simmons' kids come on there and Paul Stanley's son came on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said, oh, they're going to announce this big thing at the end. And there was four of them up there. And I'm like, no, don't tell me they're going to, because they're musicians too. I know at least Paul Stanley's son is a musician.
Very good guitar player.
Yeah. And actually they opened the show up. It just wasn't on TV.
That was their band.
Yeah.
I was not aware. And you know what? I actually downloaded the single off Apple Music. It's pretty good.
I haven't heard it. I don't know.
It's pretty good. I was just like, well, this sounds like a really good young rock band.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's what that is. So anyway, with the announcement that something was going to happen and then from them talking about somebody else could take over Kiss, you know, back in years ago, I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's four people on the stage right now. Don't tell me that their kids are now going to take over Kiss and be Kiss for the rest of their lives.
That gives Gene Simmons and Family Jewels a whole new meaning.
But it turns out at the end of the show, we end up getting Kiss avatars.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, apparently, I know you can't stand ABBA, but it did work for them. And I willingly admit, back in 2016, my eldest niece, Faye, who is a big fan of music from Japan, she loves Japanese metal, Japanese rock, Japanese pop. There was a Vocaloid called Hatsune Miku. She's a big fan of her music. It's basically an anime hologram with live music behind her. So I guess you could say the Japanese equivalent of Gorillaz, you know, the way they were. I know you're a fan of Blur, but you know, Gorillaz are. Yeah. And I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, the band is really tight. The show is like top notch, like a Broadway spectacle. The fans are into it. I mean, like they're literally moving with the music with glow sticks in their hands. So I saw my niece Faye on Sunday because it was my wife's sister's baby shower. Congratulations, Cassandra and Ryan. I hope you have a beautiful, healthy baby girl. That's right. Another girl, another granddaughter in the family. Wow. No boys.
Wow. Lucky you.
It's the milk. Anyway. So I said, you know, she's like, hey, Lou, did you go to the Kiss concert this weekend? I said, no, I didn't get to, but you heard about what they announced afterwards, that they're going to be AI now, you know, digital avatars. And the first thing out of her mouth was like, oh, like the Vocaloids, like Hatsune Miku. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So apparently this is nothing new, but this is the first time that an American rock band is doing it. I mean, do we count the Dio hologram?
No, that's totally different. That's not this. That's not animation. That's an image of Dio, you know, on a screen.
Right. Okay.
So this is like more. This is like on a video thing. It's cartoonish looking. Yeah, it's not the same thing.
But you know, I'm curious how they're going to make it work because I think Gene mentioned he's like, so Kiss can be in three different cities now, and people can see the same show. So it's like, okay, well, where would you put this at, like a planetarium type thing, like Pink Floyd laser light show? Would you do it at a place like the Sphere in Vegas that's owned by the Garden? But apparently, like, if you have epilepsy, don't go there. I'm curious as to how it could get done.
Because I don't see people going to like Madison Square Garden to see this there, you know, because what are you going to see? I mean, how did they do it with the Gorillaz? I mean, obviously they're playing music. You're not going to have people playing music with Kiss. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if you're going to be listening to like the studio album songs and then just going to be showing videos of it, or is there going to be a band playing Kiss songs? And then I don't know. This is very confusing.
Yeah, I mean that's the interesting thing, because so with Gorillaz and with Hatsune Miku, like I said, there was the way that they did it was they had the screen projecting images of the animated artists, and then behind them you actually have people playing the stuff.
So how does the Apple one work?
What's that?
How does the ABBA one work?
I have no idea. But from what I heard, I mean, well, ABBA's music is pretty much like digital synthesized anyways.
Right.
But, I guess if any rock band could do it, it could be Kiss, because, you know, the four faces, with the makeup. It's pretty much iconic at this point.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about, you know, the visual kei bands in Japan that they've influenced, the glam bands that they've influenced. But, you know, they took it to a freaking Vegas level before everybody else did. So I guess it would make sense that this would be the next place for them to go.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would go see it, because although I'm interested to see what they pull off with concert tickets being the price they are,
right?
I'd rather support a young up and coming band.
Yeah.
Well, how what about you?
I don't know. We discussed this in our chat, and Greg, he was kind of like sour on this whole entire thing. But like I said, this isn't for us. You know, this is for, I think anyway, because it's for younger people. You know, us older people, we already know Kiss. You know, we don't need to see anything else from Kiss. We already know we've gotten what we liked, and some old people don't care about this shit, all this digital stuff like that. They don't care about it. They just want the Kiss from the 70s and maybe some 80s stuff, but it's not for us. It's for the younger kids. That's why it'll help Kiss keep continuing. Will I go see it? I don't know. If it's at like MSG or Madison Square Garden, something like that, probably not, because I don't want to deal with that shit. If it's in a movie theater and you're going to see it in like the 4K or the 3D type thing, maybe, because that would be kind of cool, you know. It really depends on the setting and what they're doing. If it's just the animated thing that they showed with like Eric Singer, he's playing those fake drums that are just floating in the air. I think that's stupid. You know, I'd rather see him play a real drum set or something. But again, it's digital and these are avatars, so obviously they'd be going to be playing something stupid like that. So I don't know. I really have to. I got to see what this looks like first. You know.
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, if you see it once, is it going to be the same thing every time?
They would have to change it up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because to change it up would cost a fortune.
There has to be, and it would have to be themes. Like, say, if what would be actually really cool, and yes, I would go see this if they did The Elder, right? And then they played out the freaking album, you know, what the album in whatever order it's supposed to be in, but they played the story out and they made a thing with it, you know, like a movie. That would be cool.
That would be cool. It would also be cool. And, you know, I've had this conversation with Michael Brandvold from Three Sides of the Coin. You know, I explained to him that my favorite live lineup of Kiss was the Unmasked tour, where it was Paul, Gene, Ace, and Eric Carr. just because all due respect to Peter Criss, but Eric Carr was my favorite drummer from Kiss. So seeing Eric with the Fox makeup playing those classic songs and the material from Unmasked, I enjoyed that concert out of every classic Kiss concert that I've watched. But he did mention, he said, but at the time, Kiss, who are an American band, were at their lowest popularity in America. Yeah, they were booming in Australia and Europe, but where it counted home, because, you know, it costs less to tour the United States than it does anywhere else, because then you have to pay for visas. You got to pay for, you know, transporting all the equipment over there. And let's say that the circuitry is different. You know, you need to convert whatever, however many watts you're using to those countries' respective, you know, wattage systems. So it would, you know, it's more cost effective to tour your home turf than it is to go elsewhere, you know. And Kiss only did one American show for the Unmasked cycle, and that was at the Palladium, which only fits 3,000 people. Meanwhile, the previous year, they played the Garden. So he's like, you know, he mentioned that Eric Carr was more famous for his time in Kiss outside of the makeup than with the makeup. So I'm like, I get that, but it would be cool if they could do that avatar. But again, you know, Eric Singer did the motion capture for the drums. So who's Eric Singer associated with? The Catman makeup. Right. So we may never get that.
I don't think we will anyway. Isn't there a issue with Eric Carr's family and Kiss?
Well, I don't know if Eric Carr's family owns the Fox makeup, because remember, it was Paul who designed it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, but I know that Eric Carr's family, including his ex-girlfriend, Carrie Stevens, they've completely distanced themselves away from Paul and Gene, which is sad, because, you know, the rumor and innuendo is that supposedly when Eric was dying of cancer in the hospital, Paul and Gene, supposedly, I'm not saying this is true, but they say that they fired him and they cut off his health insurance since he was a paid employee of Paul and Gene's. Like, you know, he was a member, not a partner. So I don't know how true that is. And, you know, and I'm not saying anything that people are not privy to. So will the truth ever come out? We may never know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And especially we will not see Vinnie Vincent either, you know, any kind of form of Vinnie Vincent's makeup. I don't think, you know, I don't think those eras are going to be featured in anything. We're just going to see the iconic, like you mentioned, the iconic Catman and Ace makeup.
Yeah, let's leave Vinnie Vincent dead and buried in a large piece of Tupperware. Anyway, who said that?
I think it's somebody behind you. But I mean,
I'm sorry. I mean, Vinnie Vincent, great songwriter, good guitar player within Kiss. As far as what he tried to pull off during his solos and during the Vinnie Vincent invasion, I'm sorry. I have one word to say for that. Oh!
Yeah, I don't know what.
Greg, I love you, but you're wrong. Vinnie Vincent's not a better guitarist than Yngwie.
not at all. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see those at all. It's just going to be those four iconic makeup, you know, the makeup Kiss that we know. And but, you know, they'll be playing some of those other songs. But we'll have to see where this goes. And it's apparently there's going to be a movie. There was a couple other things.
Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park Part 2?
No, I hope not. But
I love that movie. It's so bad. It's awesome.
But I'm assuming it's going to be more like the Queen movie type thing.
Oh, a biopic?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I don't know if that, but I just saw a movie's in the works. So I'm assuming that's what it would be. Why not? The Queen one was really good.
Yeah, but first of all, there was so much information that they left out,
right? Of course.
And for the purpose of, you know, making the movie, they changed around so many things.
They did, but that was Brian. What the hell's his name?
Brian May's call Brian to make Mays. It more of a cinematic experience.
Not even that, but I don't think he really wanted to tarnish Freddy's, what people known of Freddy. you know.
I get that, and that's why I'm glad that he didn't cast that freaking hack Sacha Baron Cohen, who played Borat. You know, apparently he was in the running to play Freddy before Remy Malek. Is that who's the
yeah?
And apparently he wanted to focus more on Freddy's debauchery,
right?
Than the music. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, Sacha Baron Cohen. You know, and this is why I can't take you seriously, and why anyone takes you seriously is beyond me. So whatever.
You don't like Borat.
I love the first Borat film, but then he got all, you know, I'm not gonna say the W word, but you know, like when he starts saying that that we need to take our news and mainstream media seriously, I'm just like, no, you've lost me. You've lost me. As someone who worked in media, Wayne, for 15 years, I've worked for Viacom, I've worked for NBC, I've worked for, you know, some of the major companies. Put it to you this way. When I walked away, it was the most liberating thing. It's like, let my people go. I was let go, and I was so happy, you know?
Yeah, I can totally get that. That's why I don't really pay attention to people's stuff outside of their, you know, music or movies or whatever, because some people have some weird things going on. I'm trying to find what else they said that was going to be on here. I'll look for it as we're talking. But yeah, so this whole Kiss thing, I like I said, I really want to see what's going to happen with this. I'm interested. A lot of our friends aren't. I know our friend Ralph, I think he watched the live showing, and he watched maybe like two songs and he was done. He can't stand it. It's every day since that show's been on, it's just been negative Kiss, negative Kiss, negative Kiss. And I get it. He's been a fan since the beginning. For me, I don't know. I can't be like that, because Kiss has been like this since I've known them. You know, they've been comic books, movies, toys, you know, they've been a business.
They've always been into the merchandising business.
So it doesn't really affect me, you know. It's just a regular day with Kiss.
And I will willingly admit, I shilled hard for them when the reprint of the Marvel comic came out in 95.
Right.
I was all about that.
Right.
You know, I loved having Kiss action figures.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I don't have them anymore. But I loved having them when I did. Kiss t-shirts, I had a bunch. Now I still have my Ace Frehley t-shirt. But you know, and I hate to agree with Gene Simmons. By the way, I love his money bag sodas. You know, and I have the brothers that run that company on my podcast, and you can watch it on the Rat Side Review channel. And they were great, and they talked about how great of a businessman Gene is and of a person he is to work with. And I believe them. But that's the thing. Gene is a businessman. You know, he knows, him and Paul know what kind of music sells to the audience. Yeah. They know what people will drop money down to see which songs they perform in concert. Right. They know what people will buy. Granted, I have no interest in buying the Kiss condom or the Kiss coffin where they have you coming and going. I can't believe I said that. But, you know, there were a lot of products that I did shill for. Granted, at 43, I don't feel that way now.
Man.
But then I did. And I don't want to take that experience away from anyone who still enjoys buying Kiss merch. Have at. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm never going to stop. You know, if I see something cool, I'm buying it. I don't care. I like Kiss. It's, to me, like I mentioned in our chat, it's all about the music.
Like me, I said, too.
Kiss has been like this for years. I like the music. I still love the albums, songs, everything. And you collect the toys. I got some toys. I got posters, you know, tons of shit. I got so much Kiss crap. I'm not Sebastian Bach. You know, I don't have everything, but there's a lot of stuff. The other things that
well, could be worse. Kiss... You could be Sebastian Bach. Anyways, go ahead.
Could be. There's a Kiss Museum in Las Vegas. That's going to happen. Kiss Cruises. That's always been going on. The upcoming
That's still going to go on.
That's still going to go on.
Oh, okay.
And a cartoon show.
Didn't Gene try that 20 years ago with My Dad the Rock Star on Nickelodeon?
Oh, I don't know. I don't. That sounds familiar, but maybe they also did Scooby-Doo too. So,
which I'm sorry, that film is a remake of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. it literally is a remake with the Scooby-Doo gang.
I'm sure it's better though. I didn't watch it.
I like the I still have a VHS copy of that, you know, taped off television. So I love how bad that movie is.
I only saw the one that's in the DVD box at the Kissology.
Oh, they cut so much of Ace and Peter out in that one.
Well, apparently that one's the European version.
It is.
So I don't know what the American version is. So
so you know it was made by Hanna-Barbera.
Right.
So there's a lot of Hanna-Barbera style music during the fight scenes.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear the brass with the funk drums and bass going on. And I'm just like, yeah, I hear this music in Johnny Quest. You know?
But yeah, we'll see what happens. The Kiss Cruise is still going to happen. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see how much longer this will actually go on. I don't. What do you think? Do you think this can go on forever? Or do you think people are going to be like, I'm tired of this now?
Well, that's an interesting question. Do I think it'll go on forever? Well, if the demand is there now, I could see maybe at least the next 5-10 years. But if it grows stale and stagnant, you know, then no, I don't see it lasting forever. You know, not everything could be the cyclone at Coney Island, where it's the same rickety ride that it was when they first built it, or back in the 1800s. You know, not everything could be Space Mountain. I mean, look at Ric Flair. He breaks down. It's just I'm just curious if financially they could still keep it going, because, you know, don't forget, I think the Kiss Company is a partnership with Paul and Gene, and I think Doc McGee may have a bit of a say in that. I don't know. So if they're willing to keep it alive for as long as they can and milk it for whatever they can, sure, it could go on forever. But the thing is, they just can't get stagnant with it. And that was the problem that I was having with Kiss concerts. After the 2000 farewell tour, when I found out that they were still touring, I'm like, but I've already seen them do these songs. So, you know, it's like, you know, my favorite band of all time, Black Sabbath. I've seen them 6 times, 3 with Ozzy, 3 with Dio. It was more exciting for me to see them with Dio than Ozzy, because every time I saw them with Dio, they added new songs to the set list.
Right.
So
what did you think of this set list? Because I didn't want to look and see what the previous shows were.
And they never changed it.
It's
been the same. It's been the same set list for the whole tour.
Yeah, I waited till like the last three songs until they did the encore. I was like, all right, let me check out last night's show and see if they did anything different. And it was the same thing. I was like, why would they do that? You know, like, so what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, Iron Maiden, every time they do a tour, they always play the same 15 songs every show.
But they at least they do add other things in there, though.
Not during the cycle. No.
Sometimes.
When they do one leg to another leg, maybe they'll change a couple of songs in and out of the second leg. But then when they're doing the entirety of the second leg. There was one time that I know that Maiden actually changed the set list during the same leg. And that was Final Frontier Tour. Originally, they were playing Passchendaele. But somebody actually took video footage of them playing it, and Nico was off, so they dropped it in favor of Wrathchild.
So, which is different though, because this set list has been going on forever with Kiss. Iron Maiden, every time they come around, they change it.
Okay, yes, I'll give you that. I don't know. I never thought a song like "Say Yeah" had the same impact as a song like War Machine.
Why was that in there? Like, why? Nobody wants to hear "Say Yeah."
Like, I only like
this is the final show, and you're gonna put "Say Yeah."
I only like one song from Sonic Boom, and that's "Modern Day Delilah." Other than that, that's kind of
the worst song on there.
"Modern Day Delilah."
Yes, it is the worst song.
I don't think that's the worst song.
That is a terrible song.
That Poison ripoff was the worst song on there.
I don't remember.
The one that you played, and I said, "Hey, Wayne, I didn't know you liked Poison."
I don't remember what that song was. I kind of remember that song, but that's
so then you like Poison.
No, I hate poison. I wish I was poisoned. I don't remember what the freaking song I picked. I was just picking random shit. But anyway, I really need to listen to those two albums again because I don't like them. Those are my least favorite Kiss albums. I just don't like them. But
I love Monster.
Maybe if I give it another chance now, maybe it'll grow on me. But yeah, the set list, I'm like, it's your last show. You're not going to have the original guys come back. You got to do something special for the people that haven't heard some songs in years. But yet you played MSG twice the night before. So a lot of those people that went to that show on Friday, most likely were there on Saturday too. So then they just heard the same show over again.
Why would
you do that?
I think the reason why was to keep it consistent with, you know, the lighting, the pyro, the timing of the beginning to the end of the set. You know, there's a lot of logistics that go into a tour of this magnitude.
I get that, but you know you're having the final show.
What's that? That's irrelevant.
You got to do something out of the ordinary. You got to do some surprises. There was no surprises. Nothing.
I agree with you. I mean, hey, look, Ghost, just, you know, when they played at the LA Forum, the Kia Forum, and they did, you know, they added songs for that show that they didn't play for the entire Imperator. Mm. You know, they even debuted 20s. You know, they gave them something special for the DVD release the Blu-ray release when that comes out next year. So, you know, I give them credit for giving the fans initiative to show up without their phones and just sit and enjoy the show. So, you know, good on Ghost for doing that. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to bring up the situation of, you know, lip syncing or,
there was not, from what I could tell, none of that on this show.
The only
lip sync I did see was Eric Carr playing the piano.
Eric Singer. Okay. Well, there you go. So you didn't see it for this show, but why are they going to change the set list for the last show when they already have everything pre-programmed for the entire tour?
I know. I understand that. But you know, it's the final show.
It would be cool if they broke out. I mean, you know, I was looking at the set list and I'm like, wait a minute, no Strutter? Like,
yeah.
It would have been cool if they did like a Kiss Through the Years for that specific show. And even if you didn't do full songs, because how are you going to fit 50 years into one show? It would be cool if they did like medleys from like specific albums.
Yeah.
But again, at their age, I don't think that they would want to. They probably didn't feel obligated to have to do that.
Well, obviously they didn't, but they should have. And I think too, they should have done something. I don't know. They could have done something to like, all right, we're going to play something from like, you know, this album. Build up to it. Play some kind of video or something that's like showing what, you know, like the picture, like videos or something that they did for that album or live, you know, footage or something. And then get into the song instead of having Paul just like randomly do his nonsense. You know, they could have done so much more. The show could have been better. You know, it just seemed like it was just another show. And then Paul Stanley, too. It seemed to me like he just didn't care. Like, I can tell Gene Simmons was like really upset. Like it was going to be the final show he was going to be doing. Paul Stanley was just like, I just can't wait to get out of here kind of thing.
Really? You caught those vibes from him?
Yes, I did. He didn't get upset at all at anything. It didn't seem to me, but you could tell Gene and you could see him crying a little bit, getting, you know, upset. At one point towards the end.
Well, I mean, Paul, his personality has always been very stoic. Mm. And I think that's because it's a defense mechanism from having grown up, you know, with Microtia and, you know, being ridiculed and dealing with having parents who didn't acknowledge him. You know, which he admitted, although I'm happy that in the final years of his father's life, they had a reconciliation. But, you know, Paul just doesn't seem like the kind of person who really shows his emotions, you know, and that's the thing that I like about Gene, is that if the guys from Moneybag Sodas could say that Gene has been good to them, and they're just a little company in upstate New York, you know, right under the Canadian border. And if he's good to them, and like, it's been almost 2 years and he still has his name on their soda, then there must be good qualities about him.
Right.
The fact that, you know, and people may not remember this, but 21 years ago when Ace was doing a birthday party for himself in New Jersey, after the recent tour that they did with Eric Singer, and he started bashing Gene and Paul, you know, basically denying that he would ever get back together with them, and everyone was like, yeah, Ace, you know, he pretty much said fuck Gene and Paul, and then all of a sudden, who shows up with the birthday cake?
Right.
Gene Simmons, and they all flock to him.
Yeah,
the people love Gene. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's obnoxious. Yeah, he's crass. But you know what, though? I know many people that have met him and said he was a nice guy. So, and Gene, you know, the kid grew up in Israel, came here 6 years old, couldn't speak a lick of English. His mother had to work however many jobs to, you know, he was a latchkey kid in the 1950s. You know, that wasn't typical.
Right.
The guy came from nothing. So I give him a lot of credits.
Yeah.
Even if I don't like a lot of things that he's done, I can look past the negative with him and say, you know what? Kiss's music brought more joy than sadness to my life. Right. So I will give him that credit. And, you know, I guess I didn't notice that he was, you know, bawling a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, you probably didn't see the after interview either with him.
No.
Oh yeah. He at one point he did have to like turn away, and then his daughter came and like rescued him because he was going to like bawl any minute.
Well, cause that's his baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I could say the same thing about Black Sabbath's last concert, you know, or three quarters of Black Sabbath's concert, right. You know, I'm sorry. It's not Sabbath without Bill Ward to me. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. But it's just like, these are the guys that created a genre, and that's how they ended. You know, it's like, right. I guess you got, it's funny. I thought the Farewell Tour of 2000 had more ballyhoo behind it.
Right. Well, that's because I think at that point we thought it was going to be real, that they were really going. But now, since that already happened and then they came back, I think people still have the feeling that they might show up at one point and do more shows. Which really could happen. You know, they've done it before. So, you know.
Well, I just, now I don't think it's probable anymore because, you know, we're not all spring chickens. You can't wear 7-inch platform boots.
Yeah.
You know,
those boots were like 10 pounds. Or at least Gene Simmons weighs 10 pounds.
Well, of course, because he's got like those Godzilla type faces in the front.
It's insane.
You know, but it's funny, though, because like not, you know, I've been reading a lot of stuff on Facebook and it seems like, you know, and again, however you feel about Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer, I think they're great musicians. They got paid to do a job. OK, and, you know, I wonder if we were offered the roles of drummer and lead guitarist in Kiss. Would we take it? Would we dump Severed Angel for Kiss?
Hell yeah.
I think anybody in that situation would.
I think so. I mean, that's the right answer. I mean, everybody needs to make money, you know?
We have families and mortgages, so.
Exactly. And you can't fault them for doing what they did. I mean, the Kiss did it for the fans. I mean, they don't need to keep playing music. They don't need to make music. They don't need to do anything. Nothing. It's like Metallica. They don't need to make new music. Nobody cares about their new music anymore.
No, but you know what?
But they still go to the shows.
And they still put on a hell of a show, Metallica.
Right, and they do. So I know there's people that say, oh, they're not doing things for the fans, but they are. The fans still want them around. The fans still want them around now, even though they're, you know, supposedly done.
Fans still want AC/DC around, and Brian Johnson's voice was shot. Did anybody see the Power Trip footage?
Right. So it's just like, it boggles. I get it. I from all the shit that's went on with Kiss forever between Ace and Peter, I understand how why people get so frustrated and mad with them, but they wanted to keep the band going for the people to, you know, experience Kiss, you know? And maybe that's stupid for me to think that way, but, you know, and of course, they need to make money too. So it's a business.
Yeah, and no, it doesn't make you stupid for saying that because, look, I mean, Ace and Peter did have the opportunity to, prior to putting their names on the contract,
right?
You know, they could have negotiated a different deal. So, you know, something that probably would have been better for them. Because I think, you know, in the end, you know, I think they were making anywhere from 6 figures to 7 figures per show while Gene and Paul were, you know, getting a percentage of the tour. So, you know, in the end, the percentage definitely outweighs the 6 to 7 figures that, you know, Peter and Ace were making. But if part of that contract was them giving up the rights to the makeup, well,
Peter and Gene.
No, Peter and Ace.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. No,
that's okay. You know, if that was part of the deal and they signed off on it, well, because Paul and Gene knew that that was the Kiss that people cared about, right. which is a shame because I would hate to diminish the contributions of Vinnie Vincent, Eric Carr, Mark St. John, and Bruce Kulick. I would hate to diminish their contributions because, you know, if you were a kid growing up in the 80s, that's how you remembered Kiss. You didn't remember them with the makeup on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I love a lot of the stuff that they did in the 80s, with the exception of the raps in the Animal Eyes concert video. I mean, Jesus Christ, that was Kiss on cocaine. I mean, it was a good show. And, you know, you needed a drummer like Eric Carr to keep up that pace.
Right.
But I'm just wondering because those are the likenesses of Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, because they're employees of Kiss and not partners, I'm wondering if they are now set for life with residuals because they're physical likenesses, not the makeup, but their, you know, their facial motion features. Captures their facial features. I wonder if they're set for life right now, because everyone's like, you know, oh, now that they got the pink slip, they're unemployed musicians.
Yeah. I think posted a picture of Tommy with looking for work.
Wow. We'll play guitar for work. Yeah. But what do you think about that?
I think so. I mean, they would have to be, especially Eric Singer. I mean, Eric Singer has been probably the longest drummer in Kiss.
At this juncture, yeah. So,
right? Yeah.
I mean, 92 to 96, and then again from 2001 till today with the brief sabbatical in 2003.
Yeah, so I would imagine they would have to get something. And I would imagine, too, that their voices will probably end up being used at some point as well. So it's probably still going to be them. Because you think they would still use their voices if they're going to do some kind of like animated movie or cartoon? At least for a little while, you know?
Well, I mean, if that was them in the Scooby-Doo film, and I'm pretty sure that they have it in, you know, the contracts for that any residuals made, you know, I'm sure Paul and Gene would get a bigger chunk, but yeah, I would think Eric and Tommy would get taken care of with that.
Yeah, I think everything's going to be good with that. I mean, like I said, Eric's been with them forever, and Tommy Thayer has been with them forever too, so I don't think they would really screw them.
Well, you know, Tommy's association with Kiss begins back in 1984,
right,
when he was a member of Black and Blue, when Gene signed them to Simmons Records.
Yeah.
You know, many members of Black and Blue have worked with Kiss in the songwriting fashion. I think Jamie St. James actually did some material with them on Carnival of Souls, which I do love that album. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. you know, and Tommy wrote some stuff with them for Hot in the Shade and other material after that. But I look at it this way. If Tommy Thayer stuck around for as long as he did, there's a reason why. And I would like to think that Gene and Paul would reward such behavior and actions with loyalty and gratitude.
We'll see.
We'll see.
You know how that's gone, but I think they'll be okay. They'd have to be something in there. Otherwise, I don't think they would use their likenesses. You know,
I think the one original member, though, that other than Gene, that has taken the high road has been Peter. Like Peter actually said, you know, congratulations to the band for 50 years of longevity. He's proud to be a part of it, and he wishes everyone well. I'm glad to see that Peter has taken this high road in life. And I wish I could say the same about Ace, because he was my favorite member growing up, still is to this day. But he's not so nice.
Yeah, no, he's always told it how it is, so no surprise.
But how do you feel about that statement that he made to Eddie Trunk that Kiss fans are not the brightest? I wonder what he means by. I mean,
I didn't hear about that, but it's true.
The thing I did not get was that when they lit up the Empire State Building, right, you know, the first image is of the current lineup.
Yeah.
And then the next image was the original lineup on top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why are you showing off Ace and Peter if they're not members anymore?
Well, it's the history of the band. I didn't see that whole thing, so I don't know what else. Was there other stuff on there?
Like, no, it was just those two. It was just those two images.
No, it was probably, so whoever made it probably just didn't know. You know, I don't know. I would think Kiss would make that anyway, but maybe whoever does that for the Empire State Building just doesn't understand that.
Yeah. And Tommy's even taking the high road too, with Ace bashing him all the time.
Yeah, well, it's even like the people who filmed the show. I don't know if you like really watched it that, you know, intently, but like some of the shots and things that like Gene's doing the fire, they panned out into the crowd, and you barely saw Gene doing the thing. I mean, why would you get that kind of a shot? Like, why would you not get close up and show that? And there was a tons of things that the camera people missed. And I'm sure we'll see it on the DVD when it comes out.
Videographers can be a very odd bunch. Have you ever watched the original Running with the Devil video from Van Halen?
Probably years and years ago, but I don't remember.
Who are they focusing on during the guitar solo?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Michael Anthony. So, you know, unless you know the material, yeah, it's, you know, you treat it as a job.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you know the material, you treat it as an art form. Right. And, you know, you want to make sure you capture that visual. So,
they should know these things were coming, you know. Everybody knows when Gene Simmons is gonna, you know, do the blood and then the fire thing, and whatever.
Yeah, because like, you know, you watch some of those older concerts, and when Gene's got the friggin' sword in his hand, he's ready to spit the fire out. Yeah, how many extreme close ups could you get of him spitting blood from his mouth?
Right. Yeah.
And they botched it this time.
They didn't botch that one so bad as the fire spitting one that they really botched up.
I got it. Blame Vince Russo. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. That's one thing I'll never understand. Kiss on WCW, still to this day.
Yeah, well, that was some good TV right there.
That was Botchamania 101.
Yeah, it's interesting. And remember the Gene Simmons, what was his name?
Dale Torborg.
Yeah, but what was the wrestler's name?
The Demon.
Demon, right? Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. Although, from what I heard, Dale Torborg is a pretty cool guy. So
He was a huge Kiss fan too. So, you know.
Well, still is.
But I remember that.
It's funny. Eric Adams said a lot of wrestlers are huge Kiss fans.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the ECW guys were huge Kiss fans.
Oh,
and not just the BWO when they dressed up as Kiss, but, you know, Axel Rotten, rest in peace, was a big Kiss fan. So was Balls Mahoney, rest in peace. Ian Rotten is still a huge Kiss fan. and said he's seen them about like 20 times. And I'm wondering, is that why you didn't pay your workers? Anyway.
Axl Rotten was a huge Kiss fan too.
He was. Always he was.
Shirts and had the Kiss tattoo and everything.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
Proud impresario of the Kiss Army.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it, folks. Kiss, as far as the human flesh version, they are done touring for now.
So and
seeing animated Kiss from now on.
And I think I just want to conclude in saying I think we're all better for the good memories Kiss left us and for the good tunes. You know, I mean, 50 years of music is, you know, will give or take a couple of years that they didn't release it, but you know, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, they're still putting out soundboard recordings, which I always get excited every time they do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I will say this, during my teenage years, when I did feel isolated and introverted, you know, thank God for my brother Tony for introducing me to Destroyer, because it changed my life for the better. You know, it made me say that eventually I'd like to go on stage one day.
Right.
And I've done that, and I'm still doing that. And you know, I may not like everything they've done, I may not agree with everything they've done, but like you, Wayne, I agree. It's only about the music for me. So
That's it. Thank you, Kiss. Thank you, Kiss. And if you want to hear more music in 10 o'clock, about an hour from now, you can join me, freeworld.fm. Okay, freeworld.fm. I will be on there live playing a bunch of music, heavy metal, hard rock, all that cool stuff. And I got to go finish that, putting that together right now. severedangel.bandcamp.com. You can buy our CD.
You can go directly to severedangel.com and click on the link on the homepage, and that'll take you to the Bandcamp. Thank you to Victor and Brandon for the two copies that were recently purchased. Yours were shipped out today.
That's right. Sorry we couldn't autograph those, but maybe next time.
We all live in different locations.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's it. So, everybody hit subscribe, and we will see you here next week. Hopefully, we'll be finishing the Ozzy discography. What?
Yes. And one last thing. Kiss was always better than Motley Crue. There. Okay.
Oh, God. Motley Crue sucks. On that note, good night, everybody.
Demone.
FM. Join me. Freeworld.fm.